Our reading tonight is in Ephesians chapter 5. The epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 5. And again, once again, we give each and every one a very warm welcome to the meeting this evening. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm sure tonight the Lord will bless what we have listened to, and also this reading from his good word. Now, last evening, we spoke about the fullness of the Spirit. And we did suggest last evening that tonight, we're going to speak about the filling of the Spirit. We did suggest last evening that the difference between the fullness of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit is simply this. The fullness of the Spirit, you and I possess the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit of God possesses you and I. And what we're going to speak about mainly tonight is the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, the be nots and the but bees of the Bible are of vital importance. For example, Romans chapter 12 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what we've read tonight from Ephesians chapter 5 is this. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to talk about tonight very simply is this. We're going to speak about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to notice it in four different ways, in which it will make itself known. First of all, we're going to see it selfward. And then we're going to see it Godward. And then we're going to see it saintward. And then we're going to see it in the Christian home. So four simple things tonight at the close of the meeting. It's going to be seen selfward. And let me say this. Every Christian has experienced the baptism of the Spirit. Every Christian can enjoy the fruit of the Spirit. And every Christian can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to speak about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now it's going to be seen selfward. The question tonight might be asked, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life? And it's simply this. To make us different from the men and the women of this world. Let's think of two men in the Bible. Let's think tonight of Joseph. Listen to what it says about Joseph. Can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. You know, Joseph was different from his brethren. Joseph was different from the men of Egypt. And the reason being, he was a man that knew something about the Spirit of God. You remember Daniel? Daniel was different. Daniel was distinguished between the princes and the presidents because of an excellent spirit. And if the Spirit of God has his way in your life, and the Spirit of God has his way in my life, you and I will be different. If I read my Bible correctly, I discover this. In the Thessalonian epistle, we should be different in three different ways. Listen to the three ways tonight very quickly. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Now that word sleep doesn't mean go to bed and have a good sleep. That word sleep means this. Carnal indifference to spiritual things. And the sleep that marks the world should not mark you and I as the people of God. Secondly, let us not sorrow as do others which have no hope. Now remember, the verse doesn't say don't sorrow. You remember how long Egypt wept for Jacob? 70 days. You remember how long Joseph wept for Jacob? 7 days. As says Paul to the Thessalonians, you and I sorrow not as others which have no hope. And then thirdly, the sin that marks the world should not mark you and I as the people of God. For remember, Paul says to the Thessalonians, not in the lusts of concupiscence, which are like the Gentiles, which know not God. So remember the sleep, and the sorrow, and the sin that marks this world, should not mark you and I as the people of God. We should be different. You remember the Lord raised 3 people from the dead? Jairus' daughter, the widow of Nain's son, Lazarus. You know, those 3 people, they gave evidence of life. How did Jairus' daughter give evidence of life? It says she arose and walked. How did the widow, son of Nain, give evidence of life? It says he arose and he talked. How did Lazarus give evidence of life? He was one of them that sat at the table with him. Do you and I give evidence of divine life by our walk, do we walk in the light? Do we walk in love? Do we walk circumspectly? Do we walk humbly, habitually, holily, harmoniously with our God? She gave evidence of her walk. The widow of Nain's son gave evidence of his talk. Do you and I speak the truth in love? Is our speech always with grace, seasoned with salt? And do you and I know what it is to sit at the Lord's feet and to hear his word? The Spirit-filled life, it will manifest itself individually. I want to come to my second point tonight very quickly. It will manifest itself Godward. I think it was the late Isaac Ewan that once said this: what's too silly to be said is often sung. Before I sing in the Colossian epistle, I'm filled with the word. Before I get singing in the Ephesian epistle, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Two things tonight very quickly about God. Our God is greatly to be praised. And our God is greatly to be feared. Why is God greatly to be praised? Listen tonight to what the Bible says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. I tell you tonight, we've been reminded about Calvary. Could I tell you tonight four things about Calvary? You know, at Calvary, there's a distance that cannot be measured. At Calvary, there's a darkness that cannot be penetrated. At Calvary, there's a load that cannot be weighed. And I tell you tonight, friend, in this meeting at Calvary, there's a love that cannot be described. A distance that cannot be measured. Listen to one verse from the Bible. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And the words of my roaring. And when I think of that phrase tonight, so far, that's a distance that cannot be measured. But you know, at Calvary, there's a darkness that cannot be penetrated. Listen to what it says. I cry in the daytime, and thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. I used to work in the coal mine. Worked in Glencrae, like that pit. Worked in the Nelly, liked that pit. Worked in Brick Hills, didn't like that pit. And that's when I went to Canada. We used to go down the pit and walk a mile underground. and put out that little light, and there was a darkness that could almost be felt. You remember Exodus 11, is it? Over Egypt. There was a thick darkness. A darkness that could almost be felt. But I've come tonight, friend, to tell you this. I go in spirit tonight to Calvary. I see a darkness that far exceeds Egypt's darkness. I see a darkness that far exceeds the darkness of a coal mine. What do we sometimes say? Dark was the night, but heaven is darker still. Oh Christ my God, is this the Father's will? None of the ransomed ever knew how deep was the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. A darkness that cannot be penetrated. You know, there's a load that cannot be measured at Calvary. Listen to what the Bible says. Jehovah laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. All our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, we go free. And I tell you tonight, in that seat where you sit, you could come to know God as your Father, Christ as your Savior, and you can be certain of heaven as your home. But then fourthly, very quickly, a love that cannot be described. What was my brother's stakes tonight? Listen to it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A love that cannot be described. What do we sometimes sing? The love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on that cruel tree, that I a ransom soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. He's a God tonight that is greatly to be praised. He's a God tonight that is greatly to be feared. What's the trouble tonight in the world? One thing. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I tell you tonight, Christian, get this. Never forget who God is. And never forget who you and I are. Who's God? God's the potter. You and I are the clay. God's the father. You and I are the children. God's the husbandman. We are the branches. God's the master, we are the servants. God's the father, we are the children. Never forget who God is, and never forget who you and I are. I'm going to come tonight now to my last point before I finish, and it's the Christian home. You know, the devil is busy. What's the work of the devil tonight? I'll give you four, five things very quickly. The devil's out to deceive the sinner. Bible says he beguiles the sinner. Bible says he blinds the sinner. The Bible says he bounds the sinner. And remember, the devil is out to deceive the sinner. The devil's out to defile the man of God, to defile the woman of God. The devil is out to divert the servant of God. The devil is out to divide the assembly of God. And the devil's out to divide, to destroy the Christian home. The devil tonight is busy. You know, the devil tonight knows two things. He knows that his time is short. And he knows that his destiny is sealed. I have a little grandson, Benjamin, good Bible name, 6 years of age. 2 weeks ago he was in a gospel meeting, sitting between his father and mother. Benjamin turned to his mother. Listen to what he said to his mother. He says, "Mother, will the devil ever die?" And she said, "No." But he wasn't satisfied with that. He turned then to his father. And he said to his father, "Will the devil ever die?" And his father said, "No." And he turned to his mother and he says, "I want to get saved." The devil is busy. And the devil tonight is out to destroy the souls of men and women. And the Christian home is being attacked. Broken hearts. Broken homes. Because of the devil. What should mark a Christian home? I'll never forget 38 Balbidi Avenue, not far from here. You know what we had in our living room in Balbidi Avenue? First of all, we had a picture of the tabernacle. And then we had a picture of the gospel ship. And then we had two verses in one. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren," James 4, verse 11. "She spake of him to all," Luke 2 and 38. And then we have another verse, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And then we have those words, "Home blessings." And home blessings was this: the crown of the home is godliness. The beauty of the home is order. The glory of the home is hospitality, and the blessing of the home is contentment. Four things should mark every Christian home. Deuteronomy 6. Teach them diligently to your children. Make much of the Word of God. I heard Amos Gooding 50 years ago say this, and I'm going to say it tonight. If you want to spoil your family for God, speak to them about the failures of a Christian. Make much of the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 4. Make a room for the man of God. 1 Peter chapter 4. Use hospitality to the people of God. And you read Luke's Gospel. And Christ is in Simon's home. And Christ is in Martha's home. And Christ is in Zacchaeus' home, and Christ is in the home of the two on the road to Emmaus. If I have a spirit-filled life, it will manifest itself individually. It will manifest itself Godward, saintward, and in the home. Now shall we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the great things that Thou hast done. We sometimes sing, O blessed God, what hast Thou done? How vast the ransom paid, thine only well-beloved Son upon the altar lay. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless the words spoken tonight, both to those who are still in their sin, and also to us, thy people. Part us now with thy blessing. Keep us, O God, in thy fear, as we offer our praise and our thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Now we're going to sing tonight 178. You remember the meeting tomorrow night in the will of the Lord. And the subject for tomorrow night is, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So that's the subject for tomorrow night, at the same time, in the will of the Lord. 178. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bless till now until. So we're going to stand tonight and sing 178.